Hello, welcome back. Episode, I have no idea, 3 maybe, or is it 2? 3 with the introduction. Thank you for listening again. Just dropped my pen on top of the microphone, does not help. Last week we looked at nutrition, covered nutrition. So you never need a nutritionist. This week we're looking at training. We're looking at training and we're looking at exercise. And I'm going to use a pyramid, which has been out for a long, long while. And if you're interested, if you search on Google for Eric Helms, so that's Eric, and then Helms is H-E-L-M-S, and search for muscle and strength training pyramid. Just be careful because there's two. There's one for nutrition and then there's one for training and exercise, and I'm going to refer to bits on there, so feel free to pause this now and go and find it, and then obviously carry on listening. I'm not going to go into detail on all of the sections in that pyramid, but I'm going to use some of them to help sort of plot my way and plan my way through this episode, which will be no longer than 20 minutes, hopefully, as long as I don't get too distracted. Now, when thinking about exercise, obviously the first thing we need to do is decide whether or not we can actually do what it is that we're going to ask ourselves to do. And this comes down to a word that is quite often referred to in health and fitness as adherence. Can you actually stick to it? There is no point giving yourself this plan that is unachievable, that does not fit into your life. Now, I can do a training program that I can stick to in my life, which might be training at 5 o'clock in the morning till 6. But if I gave that to someone else, they might look at that and go, well, I've got absolutely no chance. I'm a single parent who has kids to look after in the morning. So going to the gym might not be the way forward for them. It might be that I have to do it at lunchtime. That's just a simple variation. Another part of adherence is what facilities you've actually got access to. And for me, I'm currently changing my facilities. I've actually just, as of the weekend, cancelled my gym membership. Not because I'm going to stop training, but I've found, you know, an alternative little studio. But actually, I'm also renovating. That makes it sound really posh. It's not. Building up a little bit more equipment in my garage, and I'm gonna sort that out into a little studio gym and sort of working area and things like that. As some of you know, I've already got some bits and pieces in there, some really good equipment actually, but I want to add a few more bits in there. And that to me is so I can follow my training program without digging in too much into anything else that I do, to free up a bit more time. More than anything. Anyway, I've got off track a bit. But adherence, can you actually stick to what you're doing? And that all comes down to your time and what facilities you've got, what equipment you've got access to and things like that. What you also need to do is link that into what your goal is. And, you know, in a really simple sort of way, if your goal is to complete a running event, you're going to need to put some sort of running in there. If your goal is to build muscle, you're going to need to put some form of resistance training in there. If your goal is to build strength, then you're going to need to put some really big compound strength training in there. One of the things that we see is people looking to build strength without lifting heavy weights. Again, I'm going slightly off topic here. If you haven't got access to those, change your goal or think about the facilities that you've actually got to train in. Doesn't mean you need them. I've just gone a little bit off topic. But, you know, the plan that or the goal that you want to achieve, can you do a training program that you can stick to over a longer period of time in order to achieve those goals? And most importantly, the one thing that's going to make you stick to those is, one, can you actually physically do it? But two, do you also enjoy it? If you don't enjoy it, you are not going to stick to it very long. So, for example, if you don't enjoy going to a gym, don't set a goal or a training program to go to a gym. There are many other alternatives out there. You could make up a training program of a run, a swim, and two bodyweight circuits in your house. If you're looking to build muscle, that probably isn't going to be optimal. I'll take it probably away. It isn't. But that is because you have changed the goal of what you want to do in order to keep an adherence. If it's for a health point of view, you can almost do anything. Okay, anything will help you boost your health if you can progress it over time. And we're going to come on to that a little bit later. Second of all, write in your plan. Now, for those that have seen my free video that I knocked out with my email over the weekend, last Friday, this is sort of a replication of that. Write in your plan goes along with adherence. Work out how many days you can exercise, okay? And then write your plan from that. So thinking about how often you need to target certain body parts, if it's resistance training, how much you need to, if it's mileage you're looking at, how you're going to break up your mileage of running. If it's length in a swimming pool, how are you going to break that up? Okay, so writing your plan comes down to what your week looks like. So it takes a bit of forward thinking. When is it you can exercise? What days? Okay, and then how much time you've got. So if you've got lots of time on a weekend, writing your plan to incorporate your exercise in the weekend would be logically a very good idea. So easiest way to do this, get a week, a calendar for a week, and then plot what it is. You know, your first things that are going on there is probably work, if you've got kids, things like that. And then work out where your gaps are to do some training. Then obviously link that back to what your training goals are. And then how you split that up is, as long as you've got a rest day, sort of every 2 days as a minimum, then you're probably going to be all right. If you're going to do lower body, back to back on a Monday, Tuesday, that's not really optimal. You need to give your body time to recover. So obviously you can then be a bit clever about this and then go upper body on the Monday, lower body on the Tuesday, and then give yourself a rest on the Wednesday. So just follow a logical plan. If you're going to train one day, make sure your body's got enough rest to, and recovery in order to go again, you know, in 2 days' time. Once you've got that written down, you need to think about your volume and your intensity. Generally speaking, as volume goes up, intensity is going to go down. So for example, if you're running a longer distance, so your volume is higher, the intensity of your running, so your speed is going to be lower. And the same can be said for resistance training. If your volume, so number of reps and number of sets, is going to increase, the weights you are lifting is going to decrease. And we're going to come on to this a little bit again later on when we look at logging it. So think about your volume intensity. And this also is going to link back to your training goal at the very beginning. It may also link to how you are writing your plan and your adherence. So if you've only got a shorter amount of time, your volume, regardless of what it is, whether we're swimming, cycling, lifting weights, your volume has instantly decreased because of the time element. So your intensity should be higher in order to get some sort of optimal results. Again, regardless of goal, okay, your volume and intensity needs to be accounted for, linking back to your plan, linking back to your adherence, but also linking to your goal. So for example, if you are looking to complete a marathon, your volume of training is going to have to be quite high, whereas your intensity is going to be lower because it's a lower intensity race. Whereas if you are a powerlifter, your volume may go down. The time you spend in a gym may be longer because you've got longer rest periods, but your intensity of your training is going to be extremely high because of the resistance or the weights that you are lifting. And again, link that back to goals. A little bit here on sports specific training. Obviously, if you've got an event for running, you need to run. Think about the requirements of your goals and your aims. So for example, if you're a sport, think about the requirements of your sport. If you are looking at bodybuilding, think about the requirements of bodybuilding. So it may be that you need to increase the muscle size of your quads, for example, So you might need to increase the volume and intensity of resistance training through your quads. One of the good things about linking back to sports specific or thinking about specific requirements is this method of reverse engineering. Okay, so work backwards from your goal or your target. Now, an easy way of doing this is to link this back to running. Okay, so if you know you need to run 26.2 miles in 6 months, is start at that distance and work your way back. So 4 weeks before, you're probably going to be looking at, and they say around about 18 miles, give or take. So work your way back, and then you're going to have to decrease your mileage coming back to where you are in the current day. And it gives you a very good example of where you should currently be if you are working up towards an event like a marathon, for example. And you obviously build it up step by step by step, increasing the distance over time. And obviously the most accurate way of doing that is actually to work backwards from your end date. You can do this with resistance training as well. If you've got a strength goal to achieve in 6 months, obviously 4 weeks before that, you would want to be relatively close to that strength goal. So put in your reps and your weights for that. Okay, take another 4 weeks backwards from that, is you then have a slightly lower target. And again, 4 weeks back from that, slightly lower target. So again, you're using this method of reverse engineering back from your target. One of the really good things about this is it keeps your training extremely realistic. So rather than sitting here going, I would like to squat 250 kilos, and then actually you work out, you reverse engineer and go, okay, well, 4 weeks before I should be on about 240. 4 weeks before that, maybe I should be on 220 kilos. 4 weeks before that, maybe I should be on 200. 4 weeks before that, which happens to be the current day, for example, you should be on 180. That is obviously increasing strength very, very quickly, but just an example. And you're only currently sat at 120 kilos. That goal is not going to be very realistic because you're already short of your little waypoints that you have set yourself up for. Now, moving on to the next bit, which is progress and login. Okay, so like I've just said about reverse engineering, you are progressing your way towards your goal. Now, progressive overload is one of the key principles of training. Okay, your body will only adapt to the stimulus that you put onto it. Okay, the body is very clever. If you do something, your body will repair itself and recover, assuming that your recovery tactics are good, in order to make that exercise or that demand you've just placed on it easier in the future. So for example, if you go and run 5 miles in an hour, the body will repair itself and recover and make the physical adaptations in order to make that 5 miles in 1 hour quicker later on. Easier later on. If you go and do the same thing again, the body go, yeah, I'm quite comfortable. Make a few more physical adaptations to make that 5 miles an hour easier. If you don't progress that, so whether that's distance or reduce the time, so increase the intensity, the body will not overload itself and repair itself and adapt itself beyond the requirements that you have just placed on it. So it's, after a while, it's not going to make any adaptations and your limit will be 5 miles in 1 hour. Same can be said for resistance training. So for example, if you do 20 press-ups, your body will make the adaptations to make those 20 press-ups easier in a week's time. If you do 20 again, it might make a few more little adaptations just to make it a little bit more comfortable for you. But then after that, unless you increase those number of press-ups, your body will just stay that. That will be your limit. Your body will no longer make physical adaptations because those 20 press-ups will just become too easy. The body won't need to make any adaptations in order to achieve those 20 press-ups. So what you need to do is progress over time. Add a bit more resistance, add a bit more intensity, add a bit more distance, reduce the time. Okay, whatever makes those exercises more difficult will equate to progressive overload. And the only way you can do that is if you log what you are doing. Writing it down on a bit of paper or in an app or however you like. Otherwise, your body would just fall into it along with your brain of just doing the same thing every time you go into the gym or into something else. So I've got a really good app that I use. that tells me what I did in the gym last time, and it's a really good visual representation of what I need to do in order to beat essentially what I did last time for the body to make those physical adaptations. That might be one more rep. It might be an extra 1.25 kilograms. It might be an extra set, anything like that. Same for rowing. If you get on the row and you do 500 meters in 2 minutes, write that down. So you know when you get back on the rower, your target now could be 1 minute and 58 seconds. So you're placing an excessive demand on your body more than it is used to and more than it is comfortable. And that again comes from logging it down and marking down the data of what you are actually doing in the gym or out running or as your term, as your bit of exercise for the week. I'm going to hold it there. And could go further into exercise selection, rest periods and tempo, but that is very, very, very resistance-based training and it could take over an hour. I may do another podcast on that later on. If you've got this far, thank you for listening. All right, it's very much appreciated. Feel free, send me a message, let me know. Stick it on stories. Do whatever it is that the cool people do these days on social media, because it helps more people find it. Well, that's the thing. But my biggest thing has not been, in more recent weeks, is not that more people see things and anything like that. It is in order to help people. So rather than sending it on your stories so more people see it, if you're able to send it to a specific person that you think may benefit from it, or send them my direction, and if you know someone is struggling with health and fitness or anything like that, that would be of far more value to me, which hopefully represents some of the value that I have been able to give you, certainly over these first few episodes, and on emails and social media and things like that, that I've obviously increased my participation, if that's the right words, over the last few weeks and months. So once again, thank you for listening. Next episode, I cannot remember what I've got written down for the next one, but no doubt it will be as valuable as this one. So thank you for listening. I will hold it there and I will speak to you again next week.